Today we hear strong teaching from our Lord Jesus on how we must forgive others. And this comes as our nation recalls the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001, 10 years ago. As we recall that day and the days and weeks that followed it, a time of pain and fear and uncertainty, we may well wonder, what does forgiveness have to do with that? For the actions of September 11th caused great harm. Physical death for nearly 3,000. Physical injury for many more. Emotional pain and damage in different degrees for possibly the entire country and even the whole world. And a great deal of physical destruction. These attacks also sparked great fear for the future, as we saw that our defenses had failed to prevent the attacks, and as we recognized that there were organized groups planning more of them. And those attacks were unjust. They violated the moral norms given by God for how human beings should act toward each other. They violated human rights. They damaged the common good. And they caused terrible harm that was undeserved. And in this way, the 9/11 attacks are a large and complicated version of the smaller things that we experience every day, when we or someone we love are harmed, and harmed unjustly. And often we see that that same source of harm may cause harm again in the future. And so often we feel anger, which is the passion or emotion that desires vindication, the setting right of what the unjust action has made wrong, a vindication that often comes through requiring acts of reparation from the wrongdoer. Now at base, on the natural level, this is a good reaction, a good desire. We should react to injustice with anger. We should desire to see injustice set right. Now, neither of these should go too far. The anger we feel should not become immoderate or extreme. The vindication we seek should not mushroom into cruel vengeance. And often we ourselves are not authorized to carry out that vindication, which is often reserved to God or to human authorities in our society, as we hear so often in the scriptures, including in our first reading. And we all have experienced those extremes, haven't we? Extreme anger, extreme desire for vindication, perhaps even on September 11th. But as long as our response does not go to those extremes, but stays appropriate and on target, then the response of feeling anger and desiring that injustice should be set right is a good and natural response. And yet, our Lord Jesus asks us to set that response aside. He asks us to go beyond the natural. He asks us to set aside our natural rights and instead to forgive. What does that mean? How does it all fit together? For there are a lot of false and misleading ideas running around our society that masquerade as forgiveness. First, we need to situate the topic of forgiveness within Christ's larger commandment to love. Love your neighbor as yourself, he said. Love one another as I have loved you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, what is it that our Lord is commanding here? We cannot fall into the misunderstanding of following the tendency of our culture to view everything subjectively, to view everything as being about what you feel or I feel, what you want or I want. Because to love in the way that Christ commands is something objective. It is to will the good of another. That good is objective. It's not necessarily what they feel or what they want, but rather it is a part of God's creation of them. For God created every one of his creatures, including human beings, to have a good that is objectively the purpose for which he created that creature, objectively the fulfillment of who that creature was created to be. And we can well imagine that someone who is very wicked or misguided would be quite mistaken with regard to their own good. They would surely feel that it is unpleasant. They would not want it. And yet, true self-giving love will nevertheless desire their true good for them, even when they do not desire it for themselves. True good will seek to bring it about when possible. And for that reason, true love often must be tough, tough love. And so forgiveness fits within that love. As St. Thomas Aquinas writes, when someone does unjust harm to us, when we forgive, rather than being pushed into excessive anger, we continue firmly in the virtue of meekness. Rather than being pushed into vindictive action, we continue to act in the virtue of clemency. We continue to desire and will the true good of the wrongdoer in spite of the harm that he has done to us. We are strong enough to stay the course. We are strong enough to forgive. So what are some of the false ideas that go around about what forgiveness is? I'll treat four of them. There are more. First, forgiveness is not the same as simply excusing or condoning something. Forgiveness does not say, oh, that was just a little thing. It was no problem. There was no harm done. No, no. Forgiveness says, that thing you did was significantly harmful. It was truly unjust. But I will set aside my natural right to exact a vindication from the wrongdoer. Second, forgiveness does not mean failing to protect others from future harm. And this applies to legitimate civil authorities who have the duty to protect society entrusted to them. It applies to parents with the duty to protect their children. It even applies to each of us who sometimes have the right or the duty to certain forms of self-defense. Even when we forgive a wrongdoer and continue to will his true good, we still take note of how likely it is that he will cause the same harm again. And we take morally appropriate steps to prevent that harm or to protect against it. Forgiveness is not contrary to that kind of protection. Third, forgiveness does not mean that the harm caused no longer needs to be set right. The wrongdoer still has a duty to set it right. Sometimes civil authority can make that reparation happen. Sometimes that's beyond the scope of that authority. And we may well pray that the wrongdoer will come to see the error of his ways and make those things right. Fourth, forgiveness does not mean that we will always feel better right away. For forgiveness is first of all an act of the will, to choose to continue living the true love that Christ commands in what we do and in what we don't do toward the wrongdoer. Starting from that point, it can take time, and the worse the harm was, the longer it will take to reach the full internal peace that we desire, to reach a cessation of anger, a freedom from anger. It can take real time and real work to fully recognize the harm we have suffered, the feelings it has provoked, and to find the sources that we need to experience healing from that. And yet, that is ultimately the full form of forgiveness. Not only in action, but also internally, to experience that peace. Cheryl McGinnis was the widow of the co-pilot of American Airlines Flight 11, the first plane to hit the World Trade Center towers 10 years ago. Almost a year after that, she had to visit the site of Ground Zero for the first time. Up until then, she had not been able to forgive the terrorists who had caused her husband's death. When she arrived, she looked down into that pit where the buildings had once stood, and she saw just one steel structure left standing in the shape of a cross. She prayed, "Lord, they killed my husband." And then she seemed to see herself at the foot of Christ's cross on Calvary, And within her heart, she heard the Lord asking her to forgive those terrorists. "Why?" she asks. And he answered, "Because I forgave you." And in that moment, she recognized the sins that she had committed. Not terrorism, but nevertheless, real sins, real harm that she had done in her life. And she saw the fact that Christ had forgiven her. And she, over time, received the grace of a new inner strength that enabled her to forgive those men as well. And it changed her life. If you have struggled with forgiveness, if you have tried to forgive and not succeeded, perhaps if sometimes you haven't really tried, then I ask you, have you received Christ's forgiveness for your sins? The sacrament of confession is a powerful source of freedom that he offers, freedom from your own sins, and freedom for forgiving others. If there are any serious sins you have not brought to confession, or if it has been more than a month since you last went, then please go and receive the forgiveness that Christ longs to give you. For in that sacrament, when you drop all pretense and stand before the Lord in all your sinfulness and all the harm you have done laid bare before his eyes, and you discover that Christ then meets you with love and forgiveness and gives you strength for the future, then you can do the supernatural thing that he commands, of seeing others as he sees them and forgiving them as well as he forgives you. Peter said, "Lord, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times? Not 7 times, but 77 times. Why should I forgive them? Because I forgave you."